You have your Bibles, tablet, or smartphone, or whatever you use. Be in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. So good to see everybody today. Everyone just looks so beautiful and handsome. It's a beautiful Lord's Day, so we match what the Lord has created. If you really knew me, you know two things about me. The first is that I like my space. I don't really like to be touched. It's probably not a good idea to do what Austin Kirchbull did last week. He's not here right now. But he came up behind me and gave me a huge hug, and his beard hairs were rubbing on my neck. It's just not a very pleasant feeling. I like my space. The second thing is I love to work out. I like to go to the gym. I like to exercise. This gives me a time to just kind of get away from the world and just have some alone time with Tim. Lately, I've been faced with a dilemma. This dilemma is January in the gym. When you go to the gym, this is not a very pleasant place for an introverted person in January because there are so many people around. It's like a madhouse. Everyone is hogging up all of the treadmills. There are people who are standing, taking selfies in the mirrors. There are people who are watching me while I'm trying to work out, people who are talking to me, asking me questions when I have my headphones in. And that's just one of the greatest things in life that I can't understand, why someone would want to talk to you while you have your headphones in. I can't hear you. But thankfully, February rolls around, and all of those people who are in the gym are gone because they have given up on their resolutions. And those who are in the gym are those who are truly dedicated to exercising and working out. That's the problem that goes on in society. We start something and then we don't finish. There was a survey of 1,562 people who were interviewed about their resolution goals. And of those who were interviewed, 41% didn't even make it throughout the first month. They all gave up. Something happened to them in life that caused them to quit. Something happened in life to take away their time and their energy and their commitment and their focus. And so I say all of this because January the 1st, 2017, I stood up here in front of you and I challenged myself as well as this entire congregation to set some goals. A month has passed. We set goals to trust that the Lord is going to protect us from all of the challenges of life. We set goals to trust that the Lord will take care of our marriages. We set goals to trust that the Lord will take care of us financially. And we also resolved that we're going to spend more time in the Word of God. How are you doing? If these statistics are true, 41% of you have completely abandoned those goals. 41% of people in a congregation this size is about 54 people. You may have started off this year gung-ho for Jesus, on fire, doing your daily Bible reading, trusting in the Lord, doing well. And then January 31st rolls around, and you're way behind in your daily Bible reading. You're so consumed in your work or your family. And all of the things in life have robbed you of your time, your energy, your commitment, and your focus. You have gotten off track. The Hebrew writer would say to us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, since we're surrounded by so many faithful men and women of long ago who have endured the same trials, who've endured the same tragedies, who've endured the same heartache that you are experiencing, since we've surrounded by so many faithful men and women who have perhaps seen life under the sun as we know it, since we're surrounded by so many people who have done all of that, let us do it. Let us lay aside every single weight and sin that so easily clings to us, and let us finish. Let's run this race with endurance. Let's complete our resolutions. Why? Because we can look to Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. He despised the shame, and He's now seated at the right hand of God. And so the question that we ask ourselves is, how in the world did this great cloud of witnesses make it through this life? How in the world was this great cloud of witnesses able to persevere through all that life throws their way? How are they able to do it? How are they able to finish the race? First thing that they did was they listened to the Lord. That's point number one. They listened to the Lord. The name of Noah is mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So the question we ask ourselves is, how in the world did Noah know to construct this ark? How did Noah know how to construct this ark? How did Noah know who to put on this ark? How did Noah know that if he didn't build this ark, the entire world would be destroyed? How did he know all of these things? He knew it, ladies and gentlemen, because he listened to the Lord. The Lord told him to construct this ark. The Lord told him if he and his family didn't get on this ark, they would perish. The Lord told him what to put on the ark. And Noah listened to him and he was saved. Likewise, ladies and gentlemen, the point that I'm trying to make is, if we want to continue and finish this race, if we want to succeed at fulfilling our resolutions, we have to listen to the Lord. Tim, are you saying that God is going to speak to me like He did Noah? No, that's not what I'm saying. The Lord doesn't speak to us audibly today, but the Lord does speak to us, and He does expect us to listen to Him. Romans chapter 10, 17, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing how? Hearing by the Word of God. We have to spend time in God's Word, reading and studying and meditating on what He has to say to us, because He has given us every single thing that we need that pertains to life and godliness. And so when we need to decide how to handle a particular situation in the church, we need to listen to the Lord and hear what He has to say. When we need to know how to resolve some type of issue between a brother or a sister in Christ, let's listen to the Lord. When we have questions pertaining, who am I going to marry? Who shouldn't I marry? Let's listen to the Lord and hear what He has to say. When we have questions on what a church can and cannot be involved in, let's listen to the Lord. He's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. And as we're studying and as we're meditating, as we're reading and reflecting on all of these things, a lot of the things that God tells us don't make quite too much sense. It didn't make much sense for Noah to spend over 100 years building an ark for a flood that he didn't even know what was. It hadn't even rained during that time. It didn't make too much sense for Noah to spend all of this time and effort and energy gathering two of every kind of animal, putting them on this ark. That took a whole lot of effort to try to get lions and tigers and bears on an ark. That didn't make too much sense. But Noah didn't ask God why he was doing it. He just did it. And that's the point, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of things in this life don't make too much sense. For some people, it doesn't make sense that they can't have premarital sex. For a lot of people, it doesn't make sense that they can't marry who they want to marry. For a lot of people, it doesn't make sense that they can't get a divorce for any reason other than the sun. It doesn't make too much sense for us to come here every Sunday morning and eat a saltine cracker and drink grape juice. Some of those things don't make sense, but I'll tell you this morning, what makes sense to Tim Ruffin doesn't matter to God. The wisdom of Tim Ruffin is foolishness to God. God has told Tim Ruffin exactly what He wants Tim Ruffin to do. And if Tim Ruffin doesn't listen to what God has told him through His Word, then Tim Ruffin won't succeed at his resolutions. If Noah didn't listen to what the Lord had to say, Noah would have died. That's the first point, friends. We have to listen to what God has to tell us. That's how we're going to make it out. That's how we're going to succeed at our resolutions. Point number two, how did this great cloud of witnesses finish the race? They walked with God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5, the Bible says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Because Enoch walked with God, because he shared this very special relationship with God, because Enoch pleased God, because he had faith in God, guess what? He was taken up. He didn't see death. He finished the race. He persevered. Friends, we have to walk with God. It takes more than simply listening to the Lord. It takes more than simply reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. We have to live out what the Word of God tells us to do. We have to put on Christ. We have to clothe ourselves in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. How has God made His Spirit manifest to us today? He has made His Spirit manifest through the Word. If we are living by the Spirit, let's walk by the Spirit. How did Christ walk? Read through the Gospels. Christ spent all of His time and energy and efforts with the people of this world teaching and preaching the Gospel. He came here to seek and to save that which was lost. That's how we need to live our lives. That's how we walk with God. He did that and He spent some time with God. He was praying to God. He was communing with God. He knew God. Just like Enoch, he walked with God. We have to do the same thing. Listen to the Lord. Walk with God. Spend some time with Him. Spend some time with Him. In Romans chapter 13. Look at Romans chapter 13. The Apostle Paul is talking to the Christians here in Rome. Romans chapter 13, in verse number 13, he says, "Let us walk properly as in the daytime. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy." Verse 14, but do what? But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we're living in a world where people are walking improperly as in the nighttime. They are following after the ways of the world. We're living in a world where people can tell you every single thing that you need to know about world politics, but they can't tell you a single thing about the kingdom of God. We're living in a world where people can tell you every single thing you need to know about mathematics and science and history and engineering and all of these things, but they can't tell you a single thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're living in a world where people can tell you every stat and figure about Michael Jordan or Peyton Manning or all of these athletes, but they can't tell you a single thing about Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're walking after the ways of the world. They're trying to keep up with the Joneses. They're not walking with God. We need to clothe ourselves with Christ, put on Christ, bear the fruits of His Spirit laid out in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Seems like I come up here and say that week after week, Galatians 5, 22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it doesn't matter if I say it every week because that's what God says, and that's how we have to live. That's what all of this is about. Clothe ourselves with Christ. Walk with God. Thirdly, how was this great cloud of witnesses able to stay on track and succeed at fulfilling their resolutions? They did, as Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, they laid aside every weight and sin that clung so closely to them. They laid aside every weight and sin. From that verse, we see that there is a difference between a weight and a sin. Right? Weights are things that perhaps may not necessarily be sinful, but they are holding us back and keeping us from fully devoting ourselves to the Lord. Sins are things that we know are blatantly contrary to the Word of God. And what the Hebrew writer is saying is, lay aside all of that. Lay aside the weights and the sins that cling so closely to us. The name of Abraham is mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 17, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac as he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. You see, friends, that Abraham had a weight in his life. His weight was his son Isaac. It wasn't a sin for Abraham to have a son. It wasn't a sin for Abraham to have a family. But God was testing him, and God wanted to know whether his faith in him was much more profound than his earthly satisfaction and comfort. And we see that Abraham was willing to give up that weight. He was willing to give up his son Isaac in order to fully devote himself to the Lord. Lay aside the weights. The name of Moses is mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking forward to the reward. You see, the weight in Moses' life was his relationship with the Egyptians. It wouldn't have been a sin for Moses to live in the Pharaoh's house. It wouldn't have been a sin for Moses to have all this peace and comfort and prosperity in Egypt. But that was a weight in his life, and Moses was willing to give up that weight because he knew that there was greater blessings in God. He knew that he needed to be a servant to his people, and he knew that he needed to be a servant to God. The question is, are you willing to give up the weight? The weights in our lives could be friends, they could be family, it could be a job, it could be some type of hobby that we have, things that aren't sinful, but if these things are taking us away from fully devoting ourselves to the Lord, what the Hebrew writer has told us is to get rid of it. Get rid of that baggage. That's how we're going to continue on this journey. That's how we're going to succeed at our resolutions. Give up the weight. And we all know the things that are blatantly sinful. We all know that. And we all know what happens to those who willfully live in sin. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. If we go on sinning willfully, if we go on sinning deliberately, some translations say, after having received the knowledge of the word of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but what remains is something terrifying, a fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation that will consume the adversaries. The Hebrew writer is warning us to give up the weights and give up the blatant sin. Give up the pornography, give up the lying, give up the lust, give up the lying, the cheating, the stealing, whatever it may be, the covetousness, the pride, whatever. Give it up. Give it up. Because you're not going to be able to finish. You're not going to be able to succeed at your resolutions if you have all of this baggage on you. Fourthly, this great cloud of witnesses not only gave aside all their weights and sins, but they continued running this race with endurance. They ran with endurance. Life is tough. Life is hard. Life happens. Things happen. Life was tough for these Hebrew Christians. Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, to recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Verse 33, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. Life was tough for the Hebrew Christians, and the Hebrew writer is telling these Hebrew Christians that life was tough for God's people well before you. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 36. Others suffered mockings and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom this world was not worthy. They wandered about in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. That's a hard life. That's a life much harder than many of us will ever have to experience on this side of heaven. But we can take comfort and we can take joy and have satisfaction knowing that the Lord wouldn't have told us all of this. The Lord wouldn't have told us to endure if He didn't know that we were going to have things to face. And we can see in the lives of the Hebrew Christians, and we can see in the lives of the people well before them, that it is very, very possible to make it. It is very, very possible to endure. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. One who has been tested in all points as we have. One who has seen life under the sun. One who has been challenged. One who has been beaten. One who has been mocked. One who has been killed. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. But at all points, guess what? He was without sin. And we can have so much joy and happiness knowing that. We can make it out of this life alive. We can. We can persevere. We can persevere. God knows what we're going through, and He has sent Christ for us to look towards and help us realize that it is very, very possible to overcome whatever life throws our way. The prophet Isaiah really makes this point in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30. He says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. I know life happens. I know you get tired. I know you're going to stumble and fall. But guess what? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord are heaven bound. Those who hope in the Lord can realize that this momentary light affliction that we're experiencing in this life is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. Those who hope in the Lord will consider it joy when we fall into various trials and tribulations, because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance to help us finish, to help us succeed. Those who hope in the Lord will have their minds set on things that are above. And we can do as Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us run this race with endurance. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. He despised the shame and He is now seated at the right hand of God. Look to Jesus. Press on toward the goal of the upward call of God found in Him. This Jesus who's in the form of God, He didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself, coming to this sinful, messed up, decrepit world, taking the form of a servant. And when He was found in the likeness of men, a man of sorrows, a man acquainted with grief, a man from whom men hid their faces from, when He came to this messed up world, He was obedient to His Father God to the point of death. And because He died, He's been highly exalted, and now He's seated at the right hand of God. And that's who we need to look towards. When we look towards Him, when we look to Him, look to His example, we can make it through. We can finish our resolutions. We don't have to be like that 41% of people who fail after 1 month. Let's continue. We can do it. We can make it. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our God, we are so touched and in awe of all the wonderful things that You do for us on a daily basis. There's just nothing that we can say to tell You how thankful and grateful we are for You. We thank You for life, and we thank You for giving us the ability to do things. We thank You for giving us the ability to set goals. And we pray that You can help us fulfill these goals and help us stay on track, stay on course. We thank You so much for Jesus and His example that we can look towards. Help us realize that we can finish this race. Pray that You can give us strength and encouragement and satisfaction, knowing that there is a greater, more abundant life in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and we just want to be a part of that. Continue to watch over and bless us, protect us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about two roads that we can take. There's this broad road. It's a huge road where a ton of people are on. A lot of people in this world are walking down that broad road. And there's this narrow road, a very slim road, where there are just a few people on. What road are you on? Think about it. This broad road is very easy to take. It's very fun. It's very enjoyable, but it's going to lead to eternal damnation. Narrow road, very few people on. It's a little bit harder. There are things you have to listen to, things you have to obey. But this road leads to eternal life. If you are a Christian and you are walking on this broad road, reevaluate your life and get back on the right road. If you're not a Christian, you're also headed for destruction. You're headed for destruction, and the only way that you can find eternal life is to get on the narrow road. Get on the straight and narrow. If you're here this morning and you would like to become a child of God, please obey the gospel today. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and have your sins completely washed away. A watery grave of baptism. We're ready. The Lord is ready, and we hope you're ready. If you have any spiritual need, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.
My Lord, I need nothing beside You. Without You, I could not answer. Your promise is my hope and my refuge. Your nearness, my strength and my
seated, please.
Thank Tim for another thoughtful